then put their foot together and start dancing. Their name was the Jackson Five. Y'all don't know them, right? Believe it or not, I wanted to imitate those guys because I thought they were the best. Have you ever tried to imitate somebody that you think is the best? How many of you had just wake up in the morning with Brother David in your mind and you go, "You give you all." All right. You know, we are always looking for people to imitate. Isn't that right? Always looking for people to imitate. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. When you imitate somebody, you will most of the time talk like them, walk like them, dress like them. Isn't that right? Because you like that person. That's what they call an idol. Isn't that right? And I guarantee most of us here may have an idol in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this. Watch what God does. And then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Why did you have this translation here? Because I want you to see that word and then that sentence. And then you do it. You with me so far, right? Can you make a New Living Translation, that same scripture? Watch this. Let's read it. Imitate, therefore. Why? The reflections of Christ will come in you when you and I start imitating Christ in everything that we do. Today I do not imitate the Jackson 5. I try to imitate the 3-in-1. Are we together here? I try to imitate the 3-in-1. Who is the 3-in-1? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If Jesus prayed for the sick, I pray for the sick too. If Jesus forgave those who trespass him on the last moment, I have to do the same thing. And sometimes Jesus called them brood of vipers. I haven't come that far yet. But you know what? It is telling here that you and I should imitate God. Isn't that right? Now, the New King James put it in a very nice way. Watch this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So what you're trying to say, preacher? The reflections of Christ supposed to be something present in our lives on a daily basis because we are children of God. I told the folks yesterday morning that I'm going to reprogram them and their way of thinking. And I'm going to do the same thing to you. The problem that most of us, or the reason that most of us get into trouble, is because we do not realize who we are. And therefore, God cannot shine through us. Are you with me so far? How many times have you heard about Jesus being sick in the Bible? Jesus was God. Yes. And he was man too. I can tell you one thing for sure. He never ate burger or pizza or fries. So what's your point, preacher? Brother Harry, give me the never-inspired version here, please. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Jesus loved you enough for you and I to be imitating him. Are you with me here? When you and I are taking time to imitate God, the reflections of Christ is going to start to emanate from us. You remember that I told you Sunday morning that when Moses went all the way up to the mountain, is that right? Joshua stood at the foot of the mountain. Y'all remember that, right? The people of Israel is on the other side of the fence. Moses went up to the mountain. When he came back, after he spent a little time with God, the people got shocked. And everybody was afraid, even Josh. Y'all remember that? Why? Because Moses' skin shone. That's on Exodus 34. By being in the presence of God, by hearing the words of God, by talking to God and learning the language of God, somehow the glory of God rubbed on Moses. And it started coming through his pores. Are we still together here? So what you're trying to accomplish here, preacher? You and I, let's go to Romans 8, 16. You and I, as imitators of Christ, because God has called you in Christ Jesus to be his imitator, we do have also part in an inheritance. Watch this. The Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are God's children. Now look to verse 17. Watch this. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, because I was my mother's son, when my mother died, the house that she used to live became mine. Why? I'm the firstborn. And I am one heir. In order for somebody to receive an inheritance, when you are an heir, in order for you to receive an inheritance, something has to happen. What is it? Somebody has to die. Isn't that right? So you can put your hands on that inheritance. God could not die. God will not die, but somebody else did. Jesus Christ. So on the moment that Jesus Christ died, everything that belongs to God through Jesus Christ now belongs to you. I am preacher. How does that happen? Well, beloved, you and I are supposed to be imitators of Christ. We're supposed to be identified with Christ, not on his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his life, in his power, and in his inheritance. All that Jesus has is also yours and mine. Let's go to Ephesians 1:11. Let's read it. In him, we are also, having been, listen to the next verse, verse 12. In order, you have been predestined. Isn't that right? Before you chose God, God chose you. And when you responded in faith, that predestination took place. Now let's go back to a previous verse, brother. Do you have the Holman Christian Standard Bible on this computer? Watch this. In Him, we were also made, my Lord. Are y'all listening to this? But somebody said, we've got a nice inheritance. Predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of His will. Tell somebody, God has decided His will. That is going to work out everything for you to get this inheritance. You're not getting this. Now, you know, make it easy for them. Give them the New Living Translation. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received. Ask your neighbor, have you got your inheritance yet? For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything. Thought somebody said, God's going to make everything work out. You got that? Can you put the Backslider translation here? It is in Christ that we find out. Tell your neighbor, God had His eyes on you long before you knew it. Are you with me here so far? The problem with us is that many of us have not found out yet who we are. And many of us don't even have a reason for living for, to live for. Are we together so far? What does it got to do with the reflection of Christ? You were made by God to reflect Jesus. Why aren't you doing it? Because you don't know much about who you are. Plain and simple. Let me give you a few things. Let me show you. This is what I'm saying. I want to reprogram you tonight. Let me tell you who you are in Christ Jesus. I already know that. Then act upon it. Say with me. I am a successful bunch. Is that on the Bible? Yes. Because you are connected to the true vine, you are. Let's go to John 15:7. You were made by God to be successful. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, my Lord, y'all not getting this. Y'all not getting this. Let's read it again. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to. Whatever you ask will be listened to. Acted upon. Watch your neighbor say, your miracle is on the cooking. You want another one? Let's go to Psalms 1:4. You're supposed to be a successful person. Read it with me. You got that? You are made by God to be successful. Oh, friends, I don't like that scripture. Give them the Holman Christian Standard Bible for the Christians around here. That will make it easy for them to understand. The wicked are not like this. Instead, like the sheep. So what are you talking about? Just go one verse before. I did this so you can understand. You and I are like a tree planted beside. Tell your neighbor, whatever you do is supposed to prosper. Are y'all getting the point? You and I are core heirs with Christ, and the way that Christ will be reflected in you and I is when the Word abides in you and you are at home with the Word, everything that you should pray and ask will be listened and acted upon, because everything, whatever you do, it will prosper. I'm praying, I still don't like this. Let's go back to John 15:5. Let's read it. I am the vine. Now reach to your neighbor and say, hey, branch. I'm glad that you're producing a lot of fruits. Isn't that what he's saying here? He is the vine and we are the branch? A fruit-producing branch. You have been created by God to be successful. Say, I'm successful. Through Christ Jesus. Some people are willing to die because they don't have friends. Some other people go to the extreme, to the stupidity, to find friends. But they don't realize that they can have the best friend of all. Let's go to John 15:15. Read it with me. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. Touch somebody so you can have a friend in Jesus. He will share his secret with you. Can you give me the NLT on the scripture here, brother? Read it with me. I no longer call you a slave, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now, you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Say, I'm a friend of Christ. It's a little crazy, but watch the Message Bible on this one here. Watch this. I love it. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No. I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You got that? Reach somebody and say, thank God Jesus let you in. Folks, if we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, life would be much, much different. You are a friend of Christ. Jesus has let you in all this stuff that the Lord told him. And when you understand that, the reflections of Christ comes upon you. Amen. Did you know that you have been chosen? Say with me, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
Let me have John 15:16. My goodness, the time is already gone. Read it with me. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you. I want you to talk to somebody and say, hey, fruit bearer, you've been chosen by the Father. You are a fruit bearer. Say with me, I'm chosen by the Father.
I'm chosen by the Father.
I'm chosen by Jesus.
I'm praying, how that's supposed to change my life? Because when you understand that you're chosen by Him, whatever you ask the Father, what will happen?
So you're not supposed to be sick. When you understand that you're supposed to be bearing fruits, when sickness comes, command the sickness to go. And if the demon is stubborn, talk to the Father. Watch this. Give me the NLT in here, on this one here. Watch this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. You can use the name of Jesus. It's a blank check. Amen? It's a blank check. God is willing to respond when you and I use the name of Jesus. So we're still together yet? Tell your neighbor, we are chosen by Christ. You know, a lot of people in this day and age become slaves of something. Am I talking right? Some people are slave of pornography. Some people are slave of Facebook. Some people are slave of MySpace. Some people are slave of gambling online. Some people are slave of poker. Some people are slave of their 72 inches, 48 inches, 32 inches, 36 inches, whatever brand they have. Some people are slaves of McDonald's. But you know what? There's a better master than all of this. If you would understand that, you wouldn't become a slave of none of them. Brother, give me Romans 6:22, and let's start with the Never Inspired Version. Romans 6:22. Let's read it. But now you have and have become. Tell your neighbor, you are a slave of God. If we would understand that now we've been set free from all the garbage around us, we would gladly, willingly, voluntarily become a slave of God. Why? Because the benefits of being a slave of God, it leads to holiness. If we would understand this concept, the preachers wouldn't have to preach about holiness, you know. Because you would willingly become a slave of God. You want to see how crazy it gets? Can you put the New Living Translation here, brother? Watch this. Let's read. But now, you are free from the power of sin and have become. Now, you do those things that lead. Say, I'm a slave of God. That's the reflection of Christ in you. I know that some of you will disagree with me, and that's all right. That's okay. This is not the United States Senate or Congress. Neither is this a democratic institution. This is a theocratic institution. So let's get that out of the way. Nevertheless, I will allow you to disagree with me. I just hope that you will not disagree with the Word of God. Christians are not supposed to be making wrong decisions left and right. I'll say it again. Christians does not supposed to be making wrong decisions left and right. And if that is happening in a very often basis, you should change seat. Maybe you say that God is your co-pilot. And if that's the case, change seats. Because the Bible tells us that you are led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit is your pilot. Amen? Let's go to Romans 8:14. I'm praying, I don't know. I don't feel that. Nobody cares about your feeling, you know. Listen to this. For all who are by the Spirit of God. So have you ever made a decision to follow Christ? Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So then you became children of God. Is that right? Therefore, if you became children of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, my beloved, I'm telling you right now, like your big brother, we should not be making the wrong decisions right and left. If that is happening, it's because you're in the wrong seat. Get out of the way. Go to the right seat. Let the Holy Spirit be the pilot. And you become the co-pilot. And you will see that less and less mistake will be made. Can you give me the Message Bible on this one here, brother? God's Spirit. Goodness gracious. God's Spirit. There are things to do. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. It will never change. Some of you here, like me, may have never met your father. Maybe even your mother. Real father, real mother. Oh, I did, but that guy was useless. It was like not having a father. It's okay. You were not a mistake. And God knew that you were coming. I will say this as long as I live. When your mother was delivering you, there was an unseen witness in that room that knew that you would say yes to Christ. And he adopted you right there and then. Is that on the Bible? Let's go to Romans 8:15. You have a dad. Let's go to, give me the NLT, brother, before I come here. So you have not received a spirit that makes you instead. When? Tell them that you've been adopted by God. Say, I'm adopted by God. Are we together here? How do I know that? Because the Spirit of God came to dwell within you, God adopts you right into the family. And it feels so good to belong to God. You know, I belong to someone. If nobody on earth would take me, the Creator of the universe took me in. He adopted me. And to make sure I understood this, He put the Holy Spirit within me. Are we together here? Folks, life is not all that chaos that we look. Life is sweet when we understand that we are adopted by God as His own children. You know, when I was growing up, I wanted so much to hear my father, my stepfather, call me son. He never did. Throughout my whole entire life, everybody called him dad. I call him my dad. Craved all my life that I lived with that man to hear him call me son. He did call me son, all right, but not son, you know. He called me SOB. And that was a compliment. Came to Jesus, he kicked me out of the house. On my very first revelation of Jesus, he called me son. My life changed forever. Who care about you? Raymond? And every time that we have a conversation, me and my Lord, I always hear that sweet voice, say, son. Yes? I can tell you how does it feel because there's no words to tell. It's so good. I wish I could die right now to be right there up in His presence. I mean, face to face right away. You know what I mean? Because it feels so good to hear Him calling me son. So I don't care if the old man didn't call me dad. One day when I got, the first time I was in heaven, I asked Him, why couldn't I meet my first father? And you know, I don't say that Jesus was sad, but He looked at me kind of, what is wrong with you? And then finally He says, am I not better to you than your real father? You idiot. Yes, you are. And you know what? From that point forth, I never even thought about who my real father was. It doesn't. I've got a dad that adopted me on that hospital bed on the day I came to this planet. You've got a daddy. Amen? And many times when we are having fun, I will address my God as dad. I call Him dad. Hey, dad, can I? Most of the time you say, yeah. Some other times say no. And it feels so good, so good. You know, sometimes when I go to bed, I'm looking forward for 4 o'clock in the morning. You know. And sometimes I wish I wouldn't even ever wake up again because it's so good. You've got a dad. You're not left alone. He adopted you to be His own children. Did you get that? Now, it's going to get even crazy. Give me the Message Bible now. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? Tell your neighbor, your sonship is exceptional. Are we together so far? Folks, the reflections of Christ in you will lead you to a sweet life in the presence of God. You're not alone. You're not despised. You're not abandoned. Even if your father was never in the picture, you've got a dad. Better than 1,000 dads that you could have on planet Earth. How come I don't feel it? Because you have not dived into the presence of your God. Plain and simple. Brother, give me Galatians 3:26. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and I'm going to stop. Galatians 3:26. Would you like to read it with me? By faith in Christ, you are. Isn't that great? Watch this on the New Living Translation. Watch this. For you are. Did you get the point? You are a child of God. You got a dad. Did you get that? You've got a dad. Well, let me give you one more verse in the same topic here. Brother, can you jump on the same book of Galatians? Give me chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read it. And because we are his children, isn't that something? Are you getting the point? The reflections of Jesus is in you. And because of that, you can call dad. I'm going to mess up you right now. I have never heard none of you here start your prayer, dad, thank you very much for this day. Gotcha. Didn't I? How many of you has ever started a prayer? Dad, thank you for the day. One. Oh, praise God. Two, three. Oh, you have to stop lying on me. Hey, you have been adopted into the family of God. So if you want to start your prayer, my Father is good. Father is good. Dad is good. Abba is good. Papa is all good because you have been adopted into the family of God. Amen? The lousy clock on the back is looking at me. Next week I'm going to continue to show you who you are in Christ Jesus and how the reflections of Jesus in you are supposed to change your life. Bow your heads with me. Well, Dad, thank you very much for the time that we had tonight. Thank you very much because you have sent your Spirit that dwells within us. And it is your Spirit who compels us, who propels us to call you Dad. So, Dad, thank you very much. Thank you for adopting us. Thank you for choosing us to be your children. Thank you for all the blessings and the success that you have bestowed upon us. Dad, I ask that you may help us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, so that the reflections of Jesus may be eminent in our lives. Thanks, Dad, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.